Call the House Committee on Healthcare to order. And we've got six bills want to move out today. Couple of them have amendments, but some don't. So I'm going to open up a work session on Senate Bill 24A. Madam Administrator, tell us about it, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Senate Bill 24A requires a health benefit plan to provide coverage of medically necessary evidence-based telemedical health services if the health service is otherwise covered by the current benefit plan. It establishes that telemedicine is not to be limited to medically underserved areas or areas where there is a shortage of specialists. We had a public hearing on May 11th. This has no revenue impact. There is a fiscal statement. You received that at the first hearing. The fiscal statement is an explanation of how this bill would impact DCPS, but there is no financial estimate on the fiscal statement itself. This left the Senate Healthcare and Veterans Affairs Committee 5-0. Senate floor vote was 27 ayes, 2 nays, and 1 excused.
And no amendments, we're all set to go?
No amendments, Mr. Chair, and yes, that is the committee's choice. We're all set to go.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 24A to the House floor with a due pass recommendation.
We have a motion for Representative Bruin to move Senate Bill 24A to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Please call the roll.
Representative Bruin?
Aye.
Representative Kennedy?
Aye.
Representative Dembrough?
Aye.
Representative Garrett?
Aye.
Vice Chair Harper?
Aye.
Representative Penimer?
Aye.
Representative Kotek?
Aye.
Vice Chair Maurer?
Excused.
Representative Thompson?
Aye.
Chair Greenlee?
Aye. Motion carries. Do we have somebody like to carry that to the floor? Okay, I will carry it.
I'd be happy.
Representative Kennemer, you got it. Close the work session on Senate Bill 24A. Open up a work session on... I think Maurer wants to be here for that one. Let's open up a work session on Senate Bill 16A. Madam Administrator?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 16A comes to us from the Senate Health Committee and Veterans Affairs with a 4-aye, 1 excuse, and the Senate floor with 29 ayes and 1 excuse. This bill adds the authorization of short-term hospitalization for the treatment of dementia to actions that a health care representative may make on behalf of persons executing an advanced health care directive, and clarifies that dementia is not a mental illness. There is no revenue impact or fiscal impact on the A and gross. Mr. Chair, what you have before you are the A4s, which has just an emergency clause effective on passage. We discussed this at our previous meeting on the 20th. Also, you have the A5s, which make some clarification changes. It deletes the current reference in the A and gross to ORS 127-540, which is the statute that places limitation on the health care representative's authority, and it places it to clarify that the health care representative duties in what their duties are outlined are currently in statute, which is 127-535. Mr. Chair, we do have fiscal and revenue impacts on both the A4 and the A5. They both are no. Oh, I'm sorry. I also missed that the A5s also contain the emergency clause, and it also has a sunset date that was discussed at the 20th. The sunset date is established as January 2nd, 2012.
And if we look at the, you all have a hand-engrossed version of 16. And if you look at page 3A, line HH through line JJ, there's the operative clause. And you remember I had some problem with it the way it is before. I have no problem with it this way. I do think we need to get back to look at the question of the healthcare power of attorney, or whatever we call it. We'll do that in the interim. Did I open the work session? I did open the work session.
Yes, you did.
There it is. Well, why don't we get a motion on the dash fives and then?
If you'd like, you could reopen.
We're open.
I believe.
I can reopen, but I can't readjourn?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
I'm getting there.
I know you are.
Senator Harker, can I have a motion on the dash fives? Somebody?
Mr. Chair.
Then we can talk about it.
Yes. Mr. Chair, I move we adopt the dash A5 amendments to Senate Bill 16. They are dated May 26th of 2009.
We have a motion on the floor to accept the dash five, the A5s to Senate Bill 16A. Somebody come in. Who would like to talk? Mr. Kitchen, Jay Nellen, somebody. Just come and give us a brief, very brief rundown on this.
Mr. Chair, I'm sorry, it's the end of the day, and maybe I'm just not reading this right. I don't see Section 4 in the dash A5s as a sunset. I see it as an implementation date.
I'm wrestling with this also.
You want to help me here?
May I, Mr. Chair?
Yeah. They're getting this sort of tricky way of doing this.
This is the Legislative Council drafting for current sunsets.
Oh, okay.
You will notice that we're adding, Section 2 is the new language on, and I'm looking at the amendment, not the A engrossed. On page 2, lines 15.
Page 2 of the
amendment, not the A
engrossed.
Of the A5 amendments. And I can go to the hand
engrossed. No, go ahead, it's fine.
That is the new language that specifies the healthcare representative has authority to consent to hospitalization for a period not to exceed 18 days. You will notice that Section 3 is the exact duplicate language. However, on page 4 of the amendment, lines 1 through 3, the new language is italicized, thus it's being deleted. Lines 13 and 14 of page 4 is deleting that section. So this is the way
it's not deleting everything. It's only deleting the
one. Correct. This in one of my other bills.
Yes.
Thank
right.
you.
Yes. Yeah. And so it looks, it's convoluted, but that is where that language is being deleted on that date.
That's super fun. Thank you.
Got it.
You're welcome.
Thanks.
So it is a sunset. All right.
Okay. You want to just chat with us for a minute?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I'm Tina Kitchen. I am the medical director for seniors and people with disabilities for the Department of Human Services. As you've heard before, this is a bill that was brought forth at the request of a practicing geropsychiatrist and her patients to allow healthcare representatives to make these sorts of decisions around hospitalization. After a very long and multiple-step process, what you have before you is the dash A5s, which I think meet just about everybody's concerns and needs at this point.
Okay, and that solves the problems?
Chair Greenlick, the Addictions and Mental Health, Jane Ellen Whitehance with Addictions and Mental Health Division, Department of Human Services, the mental health advocates and stakeholders are fine with these amendments as well.
Good job. Okay, is there any discussion on the motion to adopt the dash A5s? Any objection? A5s are a part of it. A motion on the bill as amended?
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 16 as amended to the floor with a due pass.
16A?
Corrected, I sit. 16A as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Okay. We have a motion from Representative Harker to move 16A as adopted with as amended with the A5s to the floor with a due pass recommendation. And is there any discussion? Please call the roll.
Representative Cannon?
Aye.
Representative Devereaux?
Aye.
Representative Garrett?
Aye.
Vice Chair Hargis?
Aye.
Representative Kinnemer?
Aye.
Representative Kotek?
Aye.
Vice Chair Maurer?
Aye.
Representative Thompson?
Aye.
Representative Crowley?
Aye.
Chair Greenlick?
Aye. Aye. Motion carries. The Senate Bill 16A, as amended, goes to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Somebody burning to carry this one? I'll do it. Greenlick will carry it. Close the work session on Senate Bill 16A. Open up a work session on Senate Bill 679A. Madam Administrator?
Mr. Chair, members of the committees, Senate Bill 679A had a public hearing on May 15. It authorizes the insurer to pay cash dividends to enrollees who participate in an approved program to promote healthy behaviors. It also defines healthy behaviors. This has no fiscal or revenue impact. This left the Senate floor unanimously with 30 votes. And I have no amendments, Mr. Chair, on this bill.
And the fiscal is the same as before since there's no amendments?
Correct.
Can I have a motion on Senate Bill 679A?
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 679A to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
We have a motion for Representative Bruin to move Senate Bill 679A to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Would you please call the roll?
Representative Deborah?
Aye.
Representative Garrett?
Aye.
Vice Chair Harker?
Aye.
Representative Kenemer?
Aye.
Representative
Kotek? Aye.
Vice Chair Maurer?
Aye.
Representative Thompson?
Aye.
Representative Bruin?
Aye.
Representative
Kenney? Aye.
Chair Greenlick?
Aye.
Motion carries. Send it to the consent calendar.
I think Representative Bruin wants to carry this one.
Ah,
right?
Yeah, thanks.
Okay. That's fine.
That's Tina, or Representative Kotek.
Oh, was it
no,
your
I
bill?
I just worry about menu labeling.
You're ready to go home.
Well, we can move menu labeling anytime you're ready. Just close the work session on Senate Bill 679A. Open up a work session on Senate Bill 876A. Madam Administrator?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 876A again comes to us from the Senate Human Services and Rural Health Policy. 4 ayes, 1 no vote. Left the Senate floor with 23 ayes, 5 noes, and 2 excused. This requires the Department of Human Services to pay for brand name drug rather than a generic immunosuppressant drugs prescribed in connection with organ transplants if DHS determines the drug is a narrow therapeutic index drug. It also requires DHS to determine whether the immunosuppressant drug is a narrow therapeutic index drug within 180 days of expiration of the United States patent on that drug. It declares an emergency effective on passage. Mr. Chair, I believe at the meeting on the 22nd we had the A2s presented to you. At this time, we do have the fiscal and the revenue impact on that. And actually, I believe you had those documents at the Friday meeting, too. But at this time, we have no new information to present to the committee.
Okay, and I can tell you, Representative Wisnett has agreed to the Dash 2 amendments. So we are ready to move the bill with the Dash 2s. Can I have an amendment on the Dash 2s, please?
Mr. Chair, I move we adopt the Dash A2 amendments to Senate Bill 876. They're dated May 21st, 09.
We have a motion from Representative Harker to amend Senate Bill 876 with the, 876A. With the Dash 2 amendments, the Dash A2 amendments. Is there any discussion on the motion?
Mr. Chair?
Yes, sir.
I have a lot of questions on this bill, and I have questions on the amendment, too. If this bill is a good idea, why is it limited to, and I apologize if this was covered in the previous discussion, but why is it limited under this A2 amendment to narrow therapeutic index drugs? And if the underlying concept that we should be prioritizing the use and really requiring the use of brand-named drugs is important, why are we adopting an amendment that, I guess it's actually in the underlying bill where it's limited to that narrow therapeutic index drug. I guess the amendment just, so maybe my question really is more to the bill itself and why we're dealing just with a single type of drug. And I apologize for bringing that up in the context of the amendment as I look at it more closely.
Yeah, the amendment is to take out the objection as part of the bill. The policy of DHS is to pay for the brand name drug in circumstances when there is a narrow therapeutic index. which means a very close range between what's needed for therapeutic and what's toxic. And their, so their current policy is to do that. The purpose of this is to speed up the process by which they make that decision on these very expensive drugs. And inside DHS is okay, is fine with this. They have no problem with it in this form.
All right, I'll support the amendment. I'm still wrestling with the bill itself.
Okay. Then, is there any objection to the amendment? The amendment carries. The dash A2s are a part of Senate Bill 876A. Now, let's have a motion on the bill itself, and we'll open up for discussion. And
okay.
Get back again, Representative Cannon. Let's talk about it.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 876A, as amended with the dash A2 amendments, to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Is there any discussion on the motion of Representative Harker to move Senate Bill 876A with the, as amended with the A2 amendments, to the floor with a due pass recommendation? Mr. Cannon, you want to?
Mr. Chair, what is, again, I am not as prepared as I ought to be. The bill now, what would be the effect of the bill as amended?
It would require DHS, if you look at the amendment, the basic thing the bill does is the 9A in the amendment, or 9B in the original bill. That's basically the only effect of it. Usually they don't make that determination until there is a generic available. And this moves ahead their schedule for doing that to as soon as the patent expires, because then a generic is possible.
Yeah, you're right. The part of the bill that I had concerns about is now deleted.
Me too.
I looked at the A and Gross version. Okay. thank you.
Okay. Great. Yes. Representative Harker.
Perhaps I will join you in being not as prepared as we would like to be. But I don't understand, as I said the other day, I don't understand what this bill is really trying to do. In the background, it says that the FDA has this pre-approved methodology. I don't understand why DHS is getting involved in the approval. I don't understand why we would be paying for brand names if generics meet these same criteria in order to be approved.
We wouldn't.
The measure requires the DHS to pay for brand name rather than generic immunosuppressants, blah, blah, blah.
DHS currently will pay for a brand name drug if there's a narrow therapeutic index. The concern is that in these drugs, which are really important in immunosuppressants after organ transplants, the fear is that a generic might not have the same, might not be as precisely manufactured as a brand name. So DHS is willing to pay for a brand name under current policy if they have determined that the drug has a narrow therapeutic index. They have to make that determination in order for them. And they usually don't make that determination currently until there's a generic available. This takes out some of that uncertainty in advance. The transplant people are very intrigued with this. It takes out some of that uncertainty once there's the possibility of a generic drug, even though the generic drug hasn't been approved yet. In fact, that's the case in one of the drugs we're talking about now. The patent's run out or is about to run out. There's a generic in the works, but it's not yet been approved. So they would not ordinarily start this process until the generic has been approved.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, sir.
I think my concerns were the same as Representative Harker's. As I look at the A engrossed version, I mean, I had a lot of trouble with the A engrossed version, but as I look at the hand engrossed version of the A engrossed, so reflecting the dash twos, it has deleted the provision that would have required the dispensing of a brand name even when a generic was available. And that I think, was the core, sort of at the crux of my objections, sort of like you, thinking, well, if FDA has approved both these drugs and there's a generic and a brand name and the generic's cheaper, then why would we be requiring folks to use the brand name and the state to pay for it? That has been deleted. And what we're left with now is just a speedier determination of this narrow therapeutic index classification. Is that
That's
essentially
it.
Right? Okay.
Representative Thompson?
Yeah, well, I think one thing that might help a little bit, too, is if you realize this is all in the background of the trend toward exactly what Representative Kahn is talking about. Whenever a generic drug across the whole spectrum is available, we tend to move to that. In these narrow therapeutic drugs, there's a question as to whether the generic drug is exactly like the name brand, and there's some variation in all of these things. But if you're talking about switching someone to a generic midstream in an organ transplant situation, you don't want to take any chances. Narrow is really narrow, and you could end up in a world of hurt. And I think that's part of the concern on the part of transplant patients, is that we know we have something that really works, and then we transfer in something that probably or maybe works in a situation we don't have any latitude. And it's part of the concern behind this. So I think in overall medicine, we recognize that generics are the direction things go, with an obvious exception here. That's what my understanding is, what we're kind of getting at.
Okay. Are you ready? Thank you, Representative Thompson. Laura, please call the roll.
Representative Garrett?
Aye.
Vice Chair Marker?
Aye.
Representative Penimer?
Aye.
Representative Krotek?
Aye.
Vice Chair Maurer?
Aye.
Representative Thompson?
Aye.
Representative Bruin?
Aye.
Representative Cannon?
Aye.
Representative Dembrough?
Aye.
Chair Greenlick?
Aye. Motion carries. Senate Bill 876A as amended. It's on its way to the floor with a due pass recommendation. This is one where we might make life easier if we do put it on the consent calendar. There is much less here than meets the eye.
Yeah.
does anybody have a problem with that one? Let's put it on the consent calendar. Can I ask you to stand at ease for a couple of minutes? I need to run and testify.
Wait. Is there sound on? Okay.
Open up a work session on Senate Bill 174. Perhaps you would manage this discussion, and Representative Kenemer's got the floor, and I'll be back soon. Okay. And maybe if you close it after this, because I want to be there.
Okay.
Go ahead and pass.
What if I won the fail?
Then fail. You've got to vote.
Sandy, where are we with this? Did we incorporate the amendments? We were just waiting the fiscal.
Correct. Right. And we received a fiscal, and it's a minimal impact.
Okay, so it's good to go.
It is good
to go.
I think
everybody's in agreement. We discussed earlier the amendments.
The dash threes, correct?
The dash threes.
Correct.
So they're already incorporated in the bill. If somebody has questions, we can deal with that. Otherwise, I think we're ready to proceed.
Right. Do you want me to read into the record what the bill does?
That would be helpful, I suppose.
Thank you.
Is that by law? Do we have to do that?
No, it's just, as the chair says, it helps the people that are watching or just listening to the audio.
Thank you.
Okay. And just to remind everybody, this increases the maximum civil penalty from $1,000 to $10,000 that the State Board of Psychologist Examiners may impose for disciplinary violation. It applies to the disciplinary actions proposed by the board on or after January 1, 2010. However, the dash three amendments replace the original bill, so the description will be slightly different on the final SMS.
Okay.
Sandy, one more thing. Do I need to declare conflict of interest since I'm licensed by this board?
Yeah. Wouldn't hurt.
I would like to declare potential conflict of interest since I'm licensed by this board.
So noted. Thank you. Do we have a motion on the dash threes?
We've already, haven't we moved the dash threes?
Oh, we were moved. I'm sorry.
So,
do we have a motion on the bill as amended?
Yeah. I would move Senate Bill 174 as amended to the floor with the due pass recommendation.
Any discussion? Clark, call the roll.
Representative Tanenbaum?
Aye.
Representative Kotek?
Aye.
Vice Chair Maurer?
Aye.
Representative Thompson?
Aye.
Representative Bruin?
Aye.
Representative Cannon?
Aye.
Representative Dembrough?
Aye.
Representative Garrett?
Aye.
Vice Chair Harker?
Excused.
Chair Greenlick?
Excused. Having received the constitutional majority, Senate Bill 174, as amended, to the floor to pass recommendation. I will close the work session. Senate Bill 174, Representative Kinnemer, would you like to carry the bill? Thank you. And we will stand at ease.
Basically,
House Healthcare reconvenes. Representative Harker, do you have something?
I do. Okay. I had to. I never speak. I'd like to move that we suspend the rules in order to allow Vice Chair Maurer to vote on, I think, two bills that he missed voting on. Is that correct? Just one?
I think
just one. Senate Bill 24A.
Is there any objection? Hearing none. How do I vote? Aye. Now we're standing at ease.
Call the committee back to order. I really apologize, team. I was testifying on a bill that I care about.
Hope it passed.
We'll see.
It's one of those.
We'll see. We've done 174.
Yes, Mr. Chair. That was a due pass with the dash three amendments. Representative Kenmore is going to carry the bill on the floor.
Excellent. Let's stand at ease just a moment longer. Talk about the future. We're going to take all next week off. We're taking Friday off and all next week. Then I'm going to try and get permission to come back starting on the 8th on Monday and Wednesday to begin to work on our interim agenda while we're here. We won't work on any Fridays, but it'll be maybe we have five or six meetings we can get together to start talking about things we're concerned about in the interim. If you folks have some topics that you'd like to begin discussing in the interim, I'd really like to have them. And one of the things after some discussions Representative Thompson and I had the other day is I thought it would be really useful to have a sort of description of a discussion about the nature of health insurance. We sit here and make a lot of health insurance decisions, mandate, no mandate. We're going to be making some more as we get ready for the 2011 session, I suspect, in terms of whether we're going to have an exchange and what the nature of that exchange would be. And if it seemed useful, maybe we can get a couple of academics and a couple of real-world folks in and have a chance to really look at how health insurance has changed and what its nature is. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk a little bit about this advanced directive thing. And there are two or three other topics we've talked about. But please let us know if you copy everybody. If there are some things that would be interesting to talk about in the interim. You have a devilish grin on your face.
The nature of health insurance.
The nature of health insurance. Representative Thompson.
Is there a bill out of that?
Representative Thompson pointed out that health insurance isn't the same as fire insurance.
Now, one of my concerns is that, and we've dealt with a number of cases here, the difference between health insurance and prepaid health care. Insurance should cover higher risk issues, but we talk about things like hearing aids for children, which aren't covered by health insurance. Well, that's a high risk sort of that should be covered by insurance. But yet, if you have acne or a hangnail, that's covered. And there's something backwards about that. That
it's not high risk.
The higher risk items are not as generally covered, whatever those might be, it's if we want prepaid health insurance instead of prepaid medical care instead of health insurance, fine.
I think that is what we have access to. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think calling it insurance is really crazy. Then you get this discussion of moral hazard and them. Yeah. Gee, if I have insurance, I'm going to get two appendectomies instead of one because I haven't covered. I mean, there are some crazy conversations, but I think it would be useful for us to spend a little time thinking about that as we get ready for the next session. Okay, let's open up a work session on Senate Bill 850. Madam Administrator?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 850 comes from the Senate Health Care and Veterans Affairs Committee, 4 ayes, 1 excused, and a Senate floor vote of unanimous 30 ayes. This adds a dentist as a member of the Oregon Health Services Commission. This has no revenue impact. It had minimal fiscal impact, but no statement was issued. On the hearing on the 15th, there was discussion on a dash one amendment that should be in your folder. And we do have the proper documentation on that. There's minimal fiscal on the dash one and no revenue impact on the dash one, Mr. Chair.
I think we're going to take the bill pure. The dash one will have to wait till the next session. We don't have the votes on the committee, it appears. So let's have a motion on Senate Bill 850.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 850 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Is there any discussion on Senate Bill 850?
Mr. Chair.
Yes, sir.
Because I see our friendly staff from the Health Services Commission sitting back there. I do want us to continue to have the conversation about alternative and complementary medicines being involved in the commission on a much more formalized basis. My challenge with the amendment was I don't think acupuncturists, naturopaths, and chiropractic physicians are all the same. But I do think alternative and complementary medicine is important, and I do think it's problematic that the commission has not made more of an effort to include those folks. And I know what the folks want. They want a role. They want a voting role, and I get that. But I just don't want to drop this conversation. Could be an interim conversation and hearing back from the commission about how we actually go about doing this.
Kaufman, you want to talk to us?
For the record, my name is Darren Kaufman. I'm director of the Health Services Commission. And so, Representative Kotek, Chair Greenlick, members of the committee, every 2 years, the Health Services Commission does a biennial review of the prioritized list, and in that process, we reach out to probably about 70 different provider specialty groups and individuals in trying to collect the most up-to-date information on the evidence around the effectiveness of different services. And I feel that we have done that in the case of alternative medicine in reaching out to those individuals and asking if there is new evidence that's available. We've actually done that within the last 6 months. So I think we do attempt to do that. We actually have convened a task force on acupuncture when there were specific questions around the use of those services, and got together a group of, I think it was about 9 to 11 providers, and had discussions about placement of those services. At that time, there were more acupuncture services on the list. Since that time, it's been removed from coverage from OHB standard. It has been taken off of some of the lines on the list, so there have been changes since then. And I think that's part of the reason why we did try to reach out within the last 6 months to say, okay, are we missing something here? Because it has been a while since we've looked at it, and we'd certainly be happy to look at it again.
Come on, Steve.
Well, and follow up?
Sure.
And I really appreciate that. I do think there's a bias, and it's very difficult, I think, for the alternative medicine discussion to break in on that. And I do think, and I'm glad you're revisiting this, because I do think in the last 5 to 10 years, I don't know when the last time you looked into this, but I do think the evidence out there is a lot stronger than it used to be. If this is a discussion about what's the evidence say. Mm-hmm. But I do think that if we're going to talk about prevention and preventive medicine and low-cost medicine that actually does do good things, I think we need to look at it in a much more directive way. So I don't know if the acupuncturist in particular wanted to talk about that.
Mr. Chair, may I comment?
Yes.
Thank you.
I'm sorry. I was trying to get a report.
I'd like to just put the history here in terms of in context. We had, as we just heard, a committee.
Oh, for the record.
I'm Stephen Kafuri, representing the Oregon Association of Acupuncture and Oriental Medicine. Thank you. We did have a committee that was comprised of acupuncturists. This was quite a while ago, and they put about 50, I don't know the exact number, 45 line items on after this. Then the Ways and Means Committee, or Emergency Board, I'm not sure, it was quite a while ago, came in and took them all off, left only three left. That was 15 years ago. Nothing has happened in that time. And I've been representing the acupuncturists for, 12, 15 years. And I don't recall anybody ever talking to me in all those years once. And I'm sure that my members would have said to me if they had heard, we got an invitation to come and make a presentation. That's why we need to be on the board, frankly. If we're not there, it isn't going to happen. Now, I particularly didn't put down acupuncture to say, let's put an acupuncturist on, because I know the concern of, well, if you put an acupuncturist on, somebody's going to want a chiropractor, and somebody's going to want a naturopath, and somebody's going to want a massage therapist and a physical therapist, and da, da, da. So I said, let's get one of the complementary medicine people on there. So you can have somebody there that understands that everybody who does medicine is not exactly the same. Representative Dendro asked a question last time we had the meeting. He said, now what about an eye doctor? Wouldn't it be a good idea to have an eye doctor? Ophthalmologists and gastroenterologists and ear doctors and all those people, they all go to the same school. They all talk the same language. They all understand each other's. When they say infection, they know exactly what they're talking about. When they say inflammation, they know exactly what they're talking about. They have a common vocabulary, a common frame of reference, a common attitude towards what happens when somebody comes in to see who's got a problem. How do you treat that person? Because they're all taught the same way. There's nobody on that board that has a different approach to how do you treat someone who comes in who's got a problem. And if you don't put somebody on that board, that's not going to change. Now, we can put this off 2 years, put off to February, put off to the year after that, as long as you'd like to, that you guys have the votes. I don't. I'm just saying that as long as you don't do it, that's going to be the result.
Is there a way to get a standing committee on complementary medicine that could work with you on a regular basis?
Chair Greenlick, members of the committee, quite frankly, yeah, the commission can, you know, put together whatever committees and task forces it sees fit to. That could certainly be done if the need was there.
Representative Thompson?
You know, if we can't move the A1s today, I would really like to see this be on the interim list of discussion. I agree entirely with what Representative Kotek said, but in a slightly different reason, as we embark on what we're trying to build as healthcare reform, we need the broadest possible view of what is healthcare treatment and how are we going to build this new world and who's going to be in it. It really bothers me a little bit that there is a discrimination within healthcare. And we need to have these people on the inside talking about what they can bring to the table and do some serious evaluations on the breadth of what could be meaningful healthcare. And I think in some of these cases there are things that can be delivered. I mean, 5,000 years of Chinese medicine can't all be wrong. And, but we discount all that because we're controlled by a different kind of narrower medical community. And that may not be where we want to go.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, sir.
Talking about the subjects for interim discussion, is that really the case? I'm quite interested to hear. I know in my own personal experience I have encountered some of what I believe to be is the bias of MDs towards certain ways of seeing health and healing. And is that borne out in the work of the commission? I mean, there have been allegations about, you know, the way the commission's operated, the services that are on the list and not, that would appear to support the position that, you know, that there is a kind of bias there. This is not something we're likely to untangle here today, but I'm very interested in this question, and it's something I agree with everything that's been said, something that bears a lot of scrutiny, and we are going to need to use these the knowledge that these professions have if we're going to deal successfully with healthcare reform.
Representative Cote?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I completely respect Mr. Kafouri's comment about wanting to have a voting member. I actually would like a larger conversation, though. I don't think this is all about the prioritized list and the Health Services Commission. I get what you're saying. That's a very narrow scope of what we're trying to achieve around healthcare. And it might be helpful, and it might be nice to add more codes if we could for the health plan. But this is a bigger discussion. I would like us to maybe come back with, after a discussion in interim, more of an omnibus bill that says we needed to have it. We need a discussion here, 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 here on this topic, and maybe it will be additional members of the Health Services Commission, but it might be more than that. Mm-hmm. And I think this is an opportunity for us to talk about that.
Well, that's one of the things we can start on June 8th if we want to start talking about the role of complementary medicine. I mean, I think it is very much in there. I mean, I can tell you that when I was diagnosed with lymphoma, I called a friend of mine, Carl Simonton, who's done the mind-body stuff on, invented it on cancer, and ended up spending time with him before I spent time with my oncologist. And I didn't view those as mutually exclusive, and I think, as I said to others, I continue to do meditation and visualization every day and have for nearly 4 years now as a part of it. So, I mean, I think this mind-body thing and alternative.
We're going to take off.
Speaking of
it. If that's you, you're
no,
banned.
No, mine's off.
Steve, let's do that. And let's start with this question. We'll start trying to get some discussions very early, and we'll see if there are answers beyond this. I think you're right, Representative Gotek. This is sort of the tip of the iceberg. Okay?
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Right. Thank you very much. Thank you both. We have a motion on the floor? I think we do.
Yes, we do. Representative Harker made a motion.
Is there a discussion on the motion to move Senate Bill 850 to the floor with a due pass recommendation? Laura, please call the roll.
Representative Kotek?
Aye.
Vice Chair Maurer?
Aye.
Representative Thompson?
Aye.
Representative Bruin?
Aye.
Representative Cannon? Aye. Representative Deborah? Aye. Representative Garrett?
Aye.
Vice Chair Harker?
Aye.
Representative Panemer?
Aye.
Chair Greenlick?
Aye.
Motion carries. Consent calendar. Let's move 850 to the floor on the consent calendar. Close the work session on Senate Bill 850. You guys have done an incredible job this session. We don't have a report yet on how many bills it is, but it was more than the Senate was able to digest. I know that.
One of our bills was more than they could digest.
Yeah, right.
Well, we didn't move, but we actually
we're
had
still on
the total committee was about 158.
You guys were great. I'll see you in the interim before we leave.
Need to adjourn.
Sorry, next week.
We're going to.
Okay.
Don't forget a party the night of June 8th. And where and when will be coming forward, but it'll be in a home in West Salem. And we are adjourned.